The title of the sermon this morning is entitled The Power of the Written Word. We know that we are living in confusing times. Everybody is competing for our attention. It could be a certain kind of suggestions. It could be certain kinds of beliefs, or maybe theories. And Paul said it so evidently in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So evident in what kind of time, confusing time we're living. He said in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, "This you may know also, that in the last days, the time where we are living in right now, perilous times shall come." Not easy. Not a time to sit back, relax, and let everything that's going around you just let it happen. No. Satan uses the confusion of this time to try and get us off our heavenly directed path. And Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel, uses modern day means to get us confused. It could be the music that you are listening to. He may get us confused by the things that we eat and drink, and get our body so intoxicated that it's hard to be healthy and hard to be in a good communication with our Heavenly Father. That makes it hard to discard the right from wrong. And Satan uses all kinds of theories, suggestions, just like evolution. All kinds of theories that is not in harmony with God's will. And God's will is that what is good, that's what is acceptable, and that is perfect in the sight of God. And what did the Apostle Peter said about being steadfast in confusing times? He said in 1 Peter chapter 5 the following. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, be attentive, because your and my adversary," who is our adversary? The devil, "is roaring like a lion, walking about and seeking whom he might devour." Trying to get us confused. Just imagine how easy it is to listen to modern day music and the tune just keeps on coming back into your mind and you say, "How can I get this tune out of my head?" There must be a way out of the confusion that Satan is trying to get us into. In the Psalms, Psalm 190, a well-known psalm, David sings about the beauty of the law, the beauty of Scripture. And in Psalm 119, from verse 103, he said the following. Psalm 119, from verse 103. He said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth." That just must ring in our hearts and our minds. And then he started saying in verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." Through your word, through the scripture, through the Bible, I get understanding. "Therefore, and because of that, I can hate every false way by the word of God." And then, "What is the word? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
as we see, God's word is that what we need to get out of the confusion of the times we are living in. Out of the confusion of that what the adversary is laying on our path. We absolutely need the clear word of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, that He is the way, He is the truth, He is life, and no man cometh unto the Father than by Jesus Christ. And only the clear words of Jesus offers us rest and gives us the wisdom we need for this day and age. Because Jesus came to give us life and to have life more abundantly. We need the power of the written word of the Lord. We cannot do it without. There was a theologian in the old days, before the Dark Ages, who wrote, before God can really deliver us, we must undeceive ourselves. And he said that because if you don't keep your eyes directed on the Lord, then you are focused on other things. And Satan can use those other things, how innocent it may be, can use it to get us off course. And we don't want to get off course. We want to be heaven bound. We must learn and we must act to stop following those theories that men conjured up in their minds. But simply accept the words as is written in Scripture. Paul said to the young disciple Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 the following. And we should all hearken after these words in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. He said to the young Timothy that you from a child, from a very early age, that's why we are having children's stories in church, that's why we have Sabbath school lessons, that we bring our children to, that from young we know the scriptures. Because what can those scriptures do? Makes us wise. And if we are really and truly wise, what will those scriptures do in our lives? Unto salvation, to the faith which is in Christ Jesus alone. We need the right heavenly holy wisdom that sanctifies us, that clears our unbelief. We need the words of God, the words of Christ to truly make us whole. We need to listen to the old story. What did Jesus say to that young, to the father of that young boy in Matthew 9? That young boy had to deal with demons, very sick, and his father was crying, "Is there not anybody that can save my child?" And Jesus came to this man and he said in Mark, not Matthew, in Mark 9, verse 23, the following. Jesus said to this father that was crying his heart out and despair about who can deliver me out of this terrible situation. He said in Mark 9, 23, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible for them that believe." So, we believe, but how can we believe in the right way? And I must understand that this man was standing there and said, "I must believe, I must believe. But how can I Believe. What is the right way to believe? What is the basis of our belief?
The clear word of God. The Holy Scriptures. Not the philosophies of man.
And when this father listened to the words of Jesus, then the first thing he answered in verse 24 was, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. I want to believe. I want to accept your way, your will. Help thou my unbelief. We need to be helped with our unbelief, especially in this day and age. We need to discover the power of the written word. Paul said to the church in Rome, in Romans 10, the following, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. We need to hear the word of God in our lives, not only on Sabbath morning, during Sabbath school, and during the divine service, and maybe afterwards, but by doing an afternoon program, but every day of our lives. Why? Because Paul said to the church in Rome, for whosoever shall call the name of the Lord, which is written in the Bible, shall be saved. And we all, I believe, want to be saved. We need to seek scriptures to drive away our unbelief. When we go to the church history, we see that faith employed time and time again ways how he could hinder the church of God getting the right belief from the scriptures. In the old days, in the dark ages, the Bible, the scripture, was chained in the bottom of the church. The peasants, the farmers, the only way how they could listen to the word was by people who were talking in some kind of very old, strange Latin language. And the people were saying, well, what he must say might be true, but I cannot understand. And by the grace of God, people like the Waldensians, by the grace of God, the reformers, Luther, Calvin, Wesley, Huss, by the grace of God, people came and showed there was a way that people could understand the word, the Bible in their own language. Why in their own language? You remember what happened during Pentecost? When Jesus, after that Jesus went to heaven, and then Jesus, before he went, said, study together in the scriptures. And on the day of Pentecost, like a rushing mighty wind came, and the disciples spake in different tongues, in several languages, that the people could understand the scripture in their own language. Why? Because that is the way that they could understand God's will for their lives on the best way possible. God made it possible that we can hear the clear word of God. Undiluted. You don't have to listen to Brother Roddy Jack to get the word. You can take the word for yourself each and every day. We live in this day and age, in a time that we can have the scripture at every given place and time at our on our phones, on our tablets, PCs. We see even Bible texts come around on Facebook. I see large people posting texts, large posts from the scriptures on the internet. everywhere. We can read the words of God.
And in this modern day and age, where everybody has such an easy access to the word,
less and less people listen to "Thus saith the Lord, and it is written."
How come? How come that we live in a day and age that people talk like a Christian, act like a Christian, but as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? And he gave the following advice to Timothy: from such people, turn away. We live in a time that it seems that even Bible-believing Christians seem to have forsaken "Thus saith the Lord" and turned to critics of the Word. We live in a time that people can open up the Bible and have a totally different understanding of what the Scripture clearly states. And that's a very dangerous practice. Last week I spoke with a good friend of mine, and she's following Bible study. And in the Bible study, the teacher says, "Well, there is no Holy Spirit." And he uses the Bible to explain that there's no Holy Spirit. And the girl says, "How can that be? He uses his Bible and he's denying one person of the Godhead. How can it be that people open up the Scripture and still deny Scripture?" Remember, New Testament, the times of Jesus, Matthew 22. Jesus was talking with the scribes. And the scribes were putting all kinds of dangerous and complicated situations before Jesus to try to trick him. And in one instance in Matthew 22, the scribes say to Jesus, "Well, if you have a woman and she's married, and the person dies and gets married again and dies and married again and dies again, and the person has 7 marriages, with whom shall the woman be in heaven?" Listen how Jesus reacted to this situation. Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." And we are sitting in this church because we want to know the power of God, which brings salvation unto all those who believe. That's why we open up the Scriptures, because we know that wisdom comes from the Word of God. Listen to these words of Sister White from The Great Controversy. And if you want to have some reference, it comes from the English, page 598 and 599 from The Great Controversy. Listen with me. "The truths most plainly revealed in the Bible have been involved in doubt and darkness by learned men who, with a pretense of great wisdom, teach that the Scriptures have a mystical, a secret, a spiritual meaning not apparent in the language employed. These men are false teachers. And it was to such a class that Jesus declared unto the scribes, 'Ye don't know the Scriptures, nor the power thereof.'" Listen. The language of the Bible should be explained according to its obvious meaning, unless a symbol or a figure is employed.
Christ has given us the following promise. If any man do his will, he shall know the doctrine. If man would but take the Bible as it reads, if there were no false teachers to mislead and confuse their minds, a work would be accomplished that would make angels glad and would bring into the fold of Christ thousands upon thousands who are now wandering in error. A great work can be done if we just take this Bible as it reads, as Sister White explained, its obvious meaning. Some people are so making the words of God so mystical, so unclear, that people cannot and will not understand what the Bible simply states. We should rightly divide the truth. When we study our scriptures, we should prayerfully access the scriptures. We must deal with the Bible, as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, as follows. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, is rightly dividing the truth. But shun away from profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Just as I said to that Bible student, but just like I said to those Bible students a couple of days ago over the phone, that we should run away at the first instance when people come with a false message to you. If people say to you, well, the Holy Spirit is just a power, a same power, and not a person, run! If people say to you, don't follow the Sabbath, go to church on Sunday, run! If people come not with the clear word of God, run! I would suggest to you a few pointers to adhere and challenge the written word of God. Everyone who diligently and patiently searches the scripture that he may educate others, entering upon the word correctly and with an honest heart, laying his preconceived ideas, whatever they have been, away, and his hereditary prejudice at the door of investigation, it will gain true knowledge. We must try to understand the scriptures as it reads. But how come that people come onto all those crazy ideas? How come that people in this day and age, and even in the days of Christ, didn't fully understand the words of God? In many places in the Old Testament, it was declared how the Messiah would come, where the Messiah would be born. And still, they didn't see it. How come? When Israel was in captivity in Babylon, and after 70 years dwelt again in Israel, the Greeks came onto the stage. And what did the Greeks do instead of what Nebuchadnezzar did and what the Medes and the Persians did? They brought the smart Israelites, they brought the smart theologians, the scribes, and brought them to Alexandria. And they teach in Alexandria the word on their way. And they gave theologians also theories from different faiths. And those scribes also got interest in the Greek way of thinking.
well, we could describe the Bible as this mystical, and this is not really true, and this, and people started to doubt the word. They so much doubt the word that they didn't see and realize that Jesus came to be the Savior of the people. One problem that Jesus had with the religious leaders of his day and age was that they misused and abused the Old Testament, and they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Ellen White noted that these leaders were unaccustomed to accept God's word as it was read, or to be allowed to be its own interpreter. And the Jewish leaders read the Old Testament in the light of their maxims and traditions, and they turned a version from the truth of God to the traditions of men. If we start to doubt, if we start to criticize certain portions of Scripture because they don't fancy our own understanding, we are going on a very dangerous path. Greek thinking will help us to lose our heavenly focus. We read in 2 Thessalonians that Satan will perform in the end time, in the last days, all kinds of miracles, all kinds of strange signs. And Satan will do everything to employ that even the rightful, truthful believers will worship Satan and not Christ. And this text always started giving me a reason to think about how deceiving Satan is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the people who are conquered up by all those signs and wonders, because not they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So, if you love the truth, you'll be saved. What do you love? Righteousness or unrighteousness? Verse 11, and for this cause God shall even send for them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. How do we know that we are being deceived? If people start to add things or start to take away things that the Bible clearly doesn't teach us. Listen to these words of Sister White in Selected Messages, Book 1. Brethren and sisters, cling to your Bible as it reads and stop your criticisms in regards to its validity, and simply obey the Word of God, and not one of you will be lost. The iniquity of man has been exercised for the ages to measure the Word of God by their finite meanings and limited comprehension. If the Lord, the author of the living oracles, will throw back the curtain and reveal his wisdom and his glory before them, they will shrink into nothingness and exclaim as did Isaiah, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people with unclean lips. We need to keep close to Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 30, there it says what we should do with God's words. Proverbs 30 verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He might be a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. It's not always easy
to accept the words of Scripture as stakes. Especially when you see things in Scripture that contradict the life you are living right now. If you like eating bad stuff, and you enjoy eating bad stuff, and you read in Scripture that you shouldn't eat bad stuff, of course your first instinct will be, I want to eat my bad stuff. I'm not throwing away the things that I really like because it says in the Word. But if you obey God, you say, okay, Lord, I like eating those things that are hurtful and bad for me. But your love, your truth, I obey rather than eating the bad stuff. So I listen to your Word. Why? Because you love God before anything else. The Bible is an two-edged cutting sword. It isn't easy, but it is possible by the grace of our Lord and Savior. If we have difficulties in understanding the Word, if we have difficulties in what the Lord wants to fulfill in our lives, let's go on our knees and ask, God, help my unbelief. When Jesus was 40 days in the desert, fasting, praying, Satan came and tried to tempt Jesus. And we all know how Jesus reacted. Every time when a strong delusion from Satan came, if Satan tries to deal with your personal desire, Jesus says, it is written. If the devil tries to say try to dare God that he may do what you want, say, it is written. If Jesus might offer you the world, say to the devil, it is written. Even in this day and age, there are many famous pop stars, who are lovely little choir girls in church and end up the most devious and foul persons because they sold their soul to the devil. Why? Because maybe their parents, maybe the church forget to teach their children to hold on to the Holy Scriptures until they get old. If we start to doubt Scriptures before our children, what must the children think of the Word? We must believe and walk after Christ and see that the Word of Christ is a power in our lives and can also be a power in the lives of those who we bring up to be faithful followers of Christ. If you're stubborn and you see the Bible as a book that keeps you away from personal glory and gain, then you will see the teachings of the Bible as something very difficult and hard to follow. Jesus was preaching in John chapter 6. Was preaching to the multitude. And then he was declaring about what would happen with him. And what he must do to fulfill the work of the Lord. His mission on earth. And then in verse 60, many of the disciples, after hearing Christ, they had heard this and said, this is a hard saying, what the Lord explained. Who can hear it? And verse 61 of John 6, and when Jesus knew in himself that he was disciples, murmured at it, and he said unto them, don't this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profaneth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God, Jesus, is giving us words of life. And sometimes, yes, we ponder up onto difficult passages in scripture. But do we say, well, they are very hard to understand, so I leave it alone? Many of the disciples who were listening to Jesus there in John 6 left Jesus because they were not willing even to accept the hard saying, the difficult teaching. A very good king in the Old Testament, King Joshua, saw what his father Manasseh did. All kinds of devil and Baal worship. And Joshua said, this isn't right. I must look after the ways of my great father David. We must accept the word of the Lord. And he was starting to remove all the bad things that his father Manasseh did in the country. And while they were rebuilding and refurnishing the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, while they were cleaning up the temple, they found the scriptures. 2 Chronicles 34, chapter 15. See how they reacted when they see the word of the Lord. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book of Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king the word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. They accept the word. They found the Lord. It was lost. But they have found the word back again. And they started to read. And what happens when you read the words of the Lord? You start to repent, verse 19. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. He teared up his clothes. And what I did in my life didn't warrant upon the will of the Lord. Verse 21. So he said, go inquire to the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our father have kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. So you see the words of the Lord. You see that you haven't walked according to the words of the Lord. So there's only two choices. Following after the Lord, or following after your own will. What did Joshua do? He recommitted himself unto God and asked the people of Israel to also open up their hearts before God and follow after the words of the Lord, the written word of the Lord. If we read the word and we want to obey the word, if you want to see our fellow brothers and sisters, and even those who are not in the church right now, come to Christ. How should we deal with the word? Let's go to the Bible book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. One of the minor prophets. Habakkuk inquired with the Lord what his judgment will do. What God will give his judgment to those who listen, and what kind of judgment God will do who don't worship and obey him. Listen how the way God reacted in Habakkuk 2. He said, write down the vision. Write down what I want to make clear to the people of this country. Write down my plans for them and make it clear. The vision of God for us is that he wants to give us a good future. And make it plain. In one of the ways, make it easy to understand. God didn't say to Habakkuk, write down the vision and make it complicated to understand, that even a child must go to a library and find out what else needs to understand. Make it plain. God's words need to be brought plain. Why did Jesus say to the children, come unto me, that even the children may understand what the Lord wants to tell them? That he may run that read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. For the angel will speak and it will not lie. There are so many people who read the Bible and say, well, it says a lot of things about the last days, but, well, it might not happen. We just live and die and we see the Bible as something metaphorical. We see the words of Jesus as something metaphorical. Jesus was just a good person. Do you really believe that Jesus comes back on the cloud? These days, even how Christians speak, they don't see God's vision. They read the word, but they don't understand it. They don't read the plain word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do we understand, do we see God's vision through the scriptures in our lives? Do we fully understand when we read Jeremiah 29 verse 11? For I know the plans that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Which expected end? Which is written in the word. If you don't read the word, you don't know the expected end. That's why a lot of people, when they see the signs of the times, they run in peril and anguish and say, what will happen? But we can say that I know what's going to happen because it says in the word and I believe the word. I know my expected end. Do we truly believe that God's word is a power for a Christian? Do we really believe when we read 2 Timothy 3 verse 16? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do we believe it, or we just say it because we learned the text when we were young out of our heads and to put it in our minds? Do we really believe when we exclaim these words? Do we really believe that scriptures can make us perfect, make us thoroughly furnished unto all good works? Do we believe all the promises God give us in the Bible? Because the Lord declares, Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the just shall live by his faith. Which faith? The faith in the theories of man, or the faith that is written in the Bible? We must trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy, to be really happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. You know, another place where things will be written down is in the book of life. There is power if something is written down. Where are our names written down? The names of those who believe, who follow and obey the words of Scripture. All who believe in the power of the world will be saved when their names will be written down. All who don't want to be deceived by self, don't want to be deceived by Satan, by the theories and opinions of man, those names will be written down. Accept the word of the Lord. Without prejudice, without critic, accept the word of God because it has power to change the heart, change the mind. Let the Lord is the one who shapes your faith, because the righteous will live by faith. Don't depart from the faith. Don't depart from the word. We can reach the promised land, of which has been written in the word, if we cling to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth as laid down in Scripture. I want to close with the following from the Bible book of Joshua. Joshua had the task to go into the promised land and lead his people in the land of milk and honey. Joshua chapter 1. And God gave Joshua advice how he can remain steadfast in those last difficult steps to reach the promised land. They were close and near the promised land, but still Joshua needs to be attended to and needs to be encouraged. Joshua 1 verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And we need to be strong and very courageous in this time we are living in right now. That thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant committed thee. Turn not it from it to the right hand or to the left. That thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do we want to have good success? I'm not talking about good success about, oh, I've got a brand new car, oh, I've got a castle, a house, oh, I've got the best job I always wanted to have. Good success in what the Lord wants us to do. Do we want to have good success? Do we want our Lord Jesus to come to us at the day when he comes back and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the best thing that a Christian can ever hear. Do we want to have good success? Well, the Lord says to Joshua, verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid for all the things that are happening right now in the world. Don't be afraid for all those false doctrines, false theories, and false opinions of man and what the devil conjures up. Don't be dismayed when people say to you, do you believe that creation happened in 6 literal days of 24 hours? Don't be dismayed. Just say, I believe Scripture. Because if we stick to the Lord, if we stick to the written word of our Lord and Savior, then know that this promise that was given to Joshua also is for us. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whatsoever thou goest. Brothers and sisters, wherever your path may lead in life, make sure that it ends in the city of gold. Whatever people may say to you about your believing the right words of Scripture, say, it was Scripture and the words of the Lord that saved me, and it is Scripture and the words of the Lord that safely bring me home. Brothers and sisters, give me the Bible. Holy message shining. Give me the words. Brothers and sisters, we need those words. So let's sing together. Sing if we really believe that we can use the Bible in everyday life. Song number 272. May Jesus lead you in his word. Amen.